Morning, everyone. Hi. It's going to take me a little while to get used to where you're sitting. I'm used to the certain people sitting certain places, and you're not in. The Stackmans don't belong on this side of the room. The Stackmans belong on this side of the room. So I'm kind of going to be thrown off for a little bit. Doesn't matter how crowded it is. This area is void. It always is. They want me to be up here, and I don't really like to be up there, but I'm going to go up there. So, Merry Christmas to you. It's kind of cool, isn't it, being here? There's a work in progress. All this was paneling. All the front was paneling. And a lot of you came and served the Lord tremendously over the last few days and week. Thank you for all of you who've come and served and been really diligent. Thanks to the guys who are out in the parking lot this morning, Joe and all of you. Thank you guys for doing that. We'll talk a little bit. One thing, just because it goes through my mind, you know, it's just carpet and it's just chairs, but one of the ways we felt like maybe we could help with the spilling is by putting lids on the coffee. And, you know, you're welcome to bring your little containers that you would use in your car or whatever. In fact, you can leave it here if you just want to. I mean, it'd probably be better if you didn't leave it in the sink and wait on the help to clean your stuff. But you're welcome to leave it here. And it's okay if it spills, okay? It's okay. Let's just clean it up. And we're going to spill. So somebody just go ahead, get it over with, you know, just do it. It's just carpet. If we need to, we'll pull it all up and we'll just be on the concrete, right? I mean, it is just carpet. The goal at some point is to pull up all these stagings, and I don't know about this one exactly, and just make it one big room. But money needs to come for all that, so we just figured we'd meet like this for a little bit. It's a little weird having you guys back there. You feel like you're the... Oh. The Mal's mouth. They didn't. They're PL. We're selling PSL licenses, you know. So you gotta re-up, Tom. No. Okay. Here I ascend to the top of the mountain. Oh, brother. But I can't see you better. You know, sometimes in the other place, I could see you looking around the person in front of you, and so I can get to see you. So it's nice. Another thing that goes through my mind, we're going to meet Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, 6:30. I know a lot of us have family things that we do, but if you want to come and celebrate Christmas Eve with us, 6:30, it'll be an hour, it won't go long, so hopefully you'll be able to go back to your family stuff. Hold my, you got aluminum foil you can wrap me up with, and everything will be okay. You want me to use that one? We're learning as we go. The air conditioner is on.
Nice me. I was like,
I had to introduce myself to him. Will that work? Can you hear me okay? Do I have to get right up in it, or can I sit back from it? Can you hear me if I sit right here? Will that be all right? I'll try to project. Here, let's pray together, okay? Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, I'm humbled by the fact that you love. Lord, you created us to have a love relationship with you. That's glorious. Lord, we're thankful for this season. We really are. Lord, I'm thankful that as much as all the stuff around Christmas matters at some level, Lord, we recognize that's all about the birth of the King who would come to die so we'd be forgiven of our sins. Lord, we acknowledge that being the most important thing. And we want to celebrate Christmas every day, but we're thankful for what today represents. We pray our hearts would be really soft and open to whatever it is that you would want to say to us, Lord. We bless you. Lord, we thank you for this place. We thank you for a place that you've planted us. And Lord, we're humbled too by the privilege we have of representing you in this community. Lord, we pray that this place would be a beacon of light that would shine all throughout Hancock County. And that the name Calvary Christian wouldn't even hardly be known. It's the fact that people would know that the name of Jesus is exalted in that place. The heart of God is represented in that place. People love who are part of that church. That's the banner, God, that we would pray that you would put over this place. We pray this place would be an oasis where the thirsty and the hungry and the needy and the hurting, that's every one of us. We would come, be refreshed, be built up, be encouraged. Lord, by your Spirit, direct our time, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I suppose we've all had the uncomfortable experience of going to a movie in the middle of the day. And, you know, when you go outside, you forget that it's bright out. And right away, you kind of have to take a second to let your eyes adjust. Maybe you pick out your sunglasses or you step back in the lobby for a second or two. Because you need to take the time for your eyes to adjust. But at that moment, without really thinking about it, don't we all kind of resist the light? Isn't it true that when you come out of the darkness and you go into the light, that the natural reaction is to somehow resist it? In the same way, regardless of your spiritual condition, whether you're a Christian today or maybe you don't have faith at all and you're not even sure about all this God stuff, I think something that all of us have in common is that anytime someone or something points out darkness in our lives, we react the same way. I mean, think about the youth that are in the room today. And you're still living with your parents. And remember when you were a youth, you know what I'm talking about. Because when your parents point out a little bit of darkness in your life, you know what it means to kind of react and resist to that. Maybe they point out a habit, or maybe they point out a pattern, or laziness, or selfishness, whatever it is. But as soon as that parent points out something as truth in your life, you immediately react to it. You withdraw. You retreat. I think it's part of the human condition. Or maybe you're married and your spouse points out something to you, and regardless of how subtle they are, how loving they are, how gracious they are, when they point out that little bit of darkness in your life, we somehow pull back from that. We withdraw. It's like the relationship at that point is a bit at risk because of our desire to withdraw. And I think it's true in all of us that whenever light shines into darkness, we can react that way. And I think that whenever God shines light into our darkness, we do the same thing. In those moments, whether it's a song that you hear, or it's something that you hear maybe in church, or something a friend has told you, and you feel that maybe someone... Let there be light. I was thinking it was like the glory of God. I was kind of like, whoa, we would have been waiting. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it? Talk about getting out of the stage and I'd have been down there. So when God speaks into maybe your selfishness, or when God speaks into your greed or your inability to forgive, whatever it might be, in that moment, when God maybe uses a person or information to speak into that darkness that's in your life, I think the strangest thing happens. In our minds, it's like God becomes our enemy. It's like we stiff-arm God a little bit because that kind of light hurts our eyes. It's too harsh. It penetrates. It touches our soul. And we tend to react to that in a negative way. I find it interesting that just as God said, let there be light in the creation story, and God has said, let there be light in the story of Christmas and the birth of his son,
God will constantly say to us, let there be light. Let there be light. God's constantly wanting to shine the light of his love and his truth into our lives. And here's why. Because our Heavenly Father understands that where there's light, there's life. And when we retreat from the truth, we're actually retreating from life. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 1. I just want to show you something. I know you've read it a number of times, but turn there for me. Can you see your Bibles okay with the lights being this bright? We were concerned that we may not be able to see it very well. Can you see? Let us know, by the way, as we walk through these next few weeks, like things like that. I can't hear very well, or I'm not seeing very well, so that we're aware, because we're here to serve, and we want to be able to read our Bibles well. So if we can't see well, we want to adjust that. Notice John chapter 1, verse 4. You know, this is from the Apostle John. He spent time with Jesus. He stood and watched Jesus be crucified. He saw the resurrected Jesus, lived to be an old man. He summed up the life of Jesus by saying in John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Other versions might say, the darkness has not overcome it. So John says there's something about Jesus. He lived a different kind of life. He lived a different quality of life. And his life functioned as a light. And wherever his light shone, that life was offered to people. And some withdrew, and some retreated, and some of us withdraw, and some of us retreat when Jesus shines that light into the little dark places in our lives. But the light that offended people and still offends people, and the light that sometimes pushes people away, was actually life. In other words, there's no real life apart from the true light of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no real life apart from Jesus. And it's that penetrating light of truth that God wants to shine into our soul, into our lives. And as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help being reminded of a dynamic that's happened in my family. My girls are older now. Megan's 21, Shelby's 18 something. I don't even know where they are. I think they're here somewhere. Are you 18, Shelby? Yeah. You know, so I have more of an adult relationship with my girls now. It's glorious, but it's a different kind of relationship. And I find that when I now see something in their life that might be a little bit of darkness, just, you know, maybe a little selfishness or maybe a little bit of envy or something like that that's happening in life, I find I hesitate a little bit to speak into their life because I'm concerned that it might risk our relationship. You know how it is, if those of us who have adult children, you wonder. Now, when they were children, when they were one of these, we didn't hesitate there. We spoke right into the darkness. We spoke right into, and I don't know, and I'm not talking about darkness. I'm talking about something in your child's life that you saw needed to be dealt with. We as parents didn't hesitate there, did we? We stepped right in and said, stop dressing your brother like a woman. That's wrong. I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. I don't know where that goes. You know, it's just stop putting peanut butter in her hair. You know, stop doing it. We didn't have any problem addressing those kind of things. But as my children have gotten to an adult age, I find I hesitate there often because I'm concerned that as I speak into those things, how are they going to react to that? And I don't want to risk the relationship. Because they might pull back. They might resist. And the reason I point that out is because I want you to know, and it's really important that you know, that your Heavenly Father never hesitates to shine light into the dark places of our life. The Father's love that he has for each one of us, it's so extraordinarily relentless that he never hesitates to shine the light of truth into the darkness in our lives, even when he knows that it might cause you to push back or shy away from the relationship. Maybe even for an entire season, you're going to stiff-arm God because I don't like that harsh light shining into my life, and you know what? I'm going to resist, and I'm going to hide. God's willing to take that risk because he knows that as you finally relent and finally give in to what God's desiring to do, that it's going to bring life to you, and he's willing to take that risk. Even though it may take a year for you to come around to the fact that you finally yield to God shining his light into that darkness in our life. That's the love that God has for me. That's the love that he has for you. Because he knows that light of truth that he shines in is what brings you life. And that's what I want. I want to live in the life that God has for me. See, God wasn't just simply content to stay in heaven and shine light to make us feel bad or make us feel condemned. Well, there's another habit I need to break. There's another person I need to apologize to. There's something else that I'm screwing up in this life, and there's a long list, and God just keeps shining it and shining it and shining it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm a screw-up. I've never been anything but a screw-up. Got it, God. Got it figured out. That isn't what God's about. And the thing that makes Christmas so incredible, and the reason that light is such a part of the Christmas story, is that because during this season, we celebrate the fact that God would actually send his Son from heaven into this dark, dark, dark world to be a light. And express to us that not only is he aware of our darkness, but he wants to do something about it. Isn't that glorious when you think about it? That God just wouldn't say, yeah, here, let me point out all your faults. But instead he says, let me provide a way for you to receive healing. Let me provide a way for you to receive all that you need to walk the victorious life. Glorious, isn't it? So God sends his Son into this world, not to simply shine a light into our hearts to show us our need, but to bring about for us the opportunity to be forgiven and the opportunity to be restored. And he came to be exactly what the angel said he would be, a Savior. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll just read a little bit there. Start in verse 8, Luke 2:8. Very familiar passage. You'll hear it a lot. Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you." Remember last week we talked about all the different signs that God gave? "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths." You know what swaddling cloths are, really? Grave clothes. Study it. They're really grave clothes. Nobody wrapped their kids in grave clothes, even back then. Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So the shepherds are out in their fields in a dark night. And suddenly, the night lights up. And what did they do? Do you notice what they did? You see it there? When the light shone, what'd they do? They did exactly what we do when we're in darkness and the light shines into our lives. They shy away. They pull back. They kind of hesitate. You see it there? Verse 9, they were greatly afraid at the end. Now over in verse 14, another version at the end, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The way it ends in another version is, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Do you know what that means? On earth, peace, goodwill toward men, or peace to those on whom his favor rests. It means that even in those moments when you stiff arm God because you don't like the way his truth makes you feel, even in those moments when you pull away from God and decide you're going to spend another season of your life not pursuing the things of God because you don't like the changes it might require of you, even when you feel convicted, even when you feel shamed, even when you feel guilty, the favor of God rests on you. Do you know that? Even in those times, the favor of God rests on you. You're still loved by God, even though you're saying, God, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Before you committed your first sin, before you had your first act of selfishness, before you had your first expression of greed, before any of that happened, God sent his only begotten Son into this world to be your Savior. Because his favor rests on you. He loves you. That's why, in those moments when the penetrating, convicting light of truth touches your heart and your soul and your mind, as much as we want to react to God as if he's our enemy right then, the Bible reminds us, and it's Christmas season that reminds us, that God is never the enemy, never. He's your perfect heavenly Father who never hesitates to say to you and to me, let there be light. Now, some of us have taken a big step this year, and you've decided that you're going to stop retreating from the darkness. You decided you're going to stop retreating into what's comfortable. Some of us have decided that we're going to do the most painful thing, at least in our minds, and we're going to stand in the convicting light of God's truth. We're going to stand there. And we're going to read the scriptures faithfully. We're going to attend church regularly. We're going to be in a small group. In fact, we're going to allow people to speak into our lives and have some form of accountability, that they're going to have the freedom to speak into your life because you recognize that their voice is coming from God Almighty. And you've allowed that to happen this year in your life. And this has been an extraordinary, important year for you because you've stepped into and remain in the light of God. But some of us, you're not there quite yet. Some of us might only come to church a couple of times a year, and we come around this season. I'm glad you're here. I really am. I'm thankful that you would come here to enjoy Christmas with us. But our prayer for you is this. For those of us who are still stiff-arming God a little bit and still resisting what God's trying to do in our lives and still pulling back from the light that he's trying to shine into your life, that maybe sometime during this Christmas season, or maybe even sometime during this upcoming year, you would drop your defenses. You would quit resisting. You would quit retreating. You would quit arguing. You would quit making excuses. And you would say to the God who loves you, I trust you, God. I trust you as you bring the painful, penetrating, convicting light of truth into my heart. And I trust you enough to believe that that's good as you bring that light into my life. I'm not going to resist anymore. I'm going to surrender to the light of your love. And this isn't just for those who don't know Christ as their Savior. There are many of us as Christians who deal with darkness a lot. We lie a lot, and we cheat a lot, and we steal a lot. Oh, we don't take the ornaments off the tree, but we steal. We steal from our employers because we're not at work on time. And we steal from our employers because we take a longer break than we're allowed to. We're stealing. And so as God wants to shine his light of into that darkness, whatever that is in your life, what I'm speaking to is that we would no longer accept that as, well, everybody else does it. No, I don't. It doesn't matter. God's speaking to you. God's speaking to me. It doesn't matter if everyone else is on this planet. Think of Noah. Everyone else on this planet. When God speaks, he says, obey. In love, he says, obey, Toby. That's what I'm requiring you to do. Don't talk about them. Receive it as from me, God says, and accept it as from me, and allow my light to shine into your life, and you would walk in life and victory and hope and joy. No more shame. No more embarrassment. That's the life that God's calling us to. That's the life that God wants to bring to you, Christian. That's the life God wants to bring all of us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the time we have just to be reminded of how much you love us. Lord, I'm thankful that you shine light into this dark world. But there are times, I confess, Lord, I resist. I like the dark. Lord, I pray each one of us would allow you to have your way in our hearts. And as you shine your light into those dark places, that we would no longer retreat, we would no longer pull back, but instead we'd step into the light and say to our Heavenly Father, God, I know as you shine this light of truth into my life, you desire life for me. I want to live in the life that you call me to. I pray that be our prayer. Lord, for some of us, Lord, we've never come to the point that we've acknowledged our need for a Savior. And we know as we sit here this morning that we've never been forgiven of the sins that we've done in this life. And all of us are guilty of mistakes that we've made. And I pray, Lord, that we would recognize that it's our sin that separates us from you. But you sent your Son, Jesus, to not only be born the way he was born and to be raised the way he was raised, but to die and to take the punishment for me, for my rebellion. Lord, I pray that if there's any here, that your convicting light of truth is shining into that dark place, that they would simply pray, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's God in the flesh who came to this earth and was perfect and pure. And he went to that cross and took the shame and the humiliation that I deserved. I believe, God. I accept the gift of eternal life. Lord, I, I believe that there's others of us who have been living in the dark. Even though we've come to the point in our life where we've accepted you as our Savior, we're still living in the dark at some level. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit we would repent and acknowledge that you're going to shine light into those places so that we can live, that we can really live. Make us a people that are quick to receive as you shine that light into our hearts. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for the time this season that we have just to celebrate the birth of a Savior, the birth of a King. Thank you that you draw us near to your heart. Lord, I think of the verse that says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Lord, may we not stiff arm you now. Lord, we know you're speaking. Thank you that you're a speaking God. We just want to take a minute now and just allow you to speak to us individually, Lord. And we would hear your voice really clearly, God. Pray we'd yield. Simply yield. We're a needy people, Lord. Thank you that you love us enough to keep shining light. Keep shining light, and then provide us a way to have victory over the darkness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.